Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good afternoon, I guess. It's still early. When I told the brethren at College U this morning at the beginning of my sermon there that I was coming over here today, I had several people mention to me that they wanted me to say hi. So let me get that out of the way. Bill Reeves said, "You tell everybody at Gooch I said hi." Well, it's been 10 or 12 years since Bill, at least since Bill's been here, I would think. I don't know that. But anyway, if you know Bill Reeves, Bill Reeves says hello. And on the way over here today, I get a text from Ben Little. And he said, "Laura and I want you to tell the people there how much we love them and how much we miss them." I said, "Well, I'll do that as long as you don't go back." So we have Ben and Laura Little with us. And I can tell you right now, we absolutely, absolutely love them, as we do Bill. And since Bill left here, his first wife had passed away, and Bill's remarried. And he remarried a lady that was part of our church for a long time. Her name was Carol, and I was fortunate enough to marry him, and I thought, this is a good thing. Two older people that love each other, that have found each other, are married. But anyway, I'm sharing a little bit too much information with you, I guess, now. But anyway, I wanted to make sure I got those things out of the way and said what I wanted to say about them to all of you. But it is good to be here. I appreciate the invitation. When Gary called me and asked me initially to come, first of all, I appreciate that. Appreciate the elders offering that to me and asking me to come. But I said, What is it that you want me to preach about? And he said, "Well, pretty much anything. Here's our theme, and pretty much you have at it." So you know what? When you preach and you get told, you preach anything you want. And that is a great thing. So you'll be out of here by 5:36 o'clock today. I just want you to know. Not quite that late, but I do appreciate being asked to come, and appreciate you coming and listening this afternoon. I love your theme for 2023, "Let Love Be Genuine." You know, genuine, the word genuine, and the idea, the concept of genuine is hard to deal with emotionally. I don't think it's hard to deal with intellectually, practically, but emotionally, the concept of being genuine is hard to deal with. Which my guess is why you're talking about it over the course at least of this year. You're talking about it even more specifically. We know what it means, but we don't always like it. Because it makes demands of us. It makes us think about ourselves, I think, in ways that we really don't want to do that. It requires honesty. Do you know what I think is the hardest thing for you to do? The very hardest thing I think for you to do is to be totally honest with yourself. Because it's the hardest thing for me to do. I think it's the hardest thing for anyone to do, to be totally honest with yourself. And here's why. We so often like to rationalize things, don't we? If I gave you a few minutes right now to think about some ways in which, or some way that you might rationalize, you could come up with a whole list. You ever rationalize anything in your mind about yourself? And as I look at you, it's just going boom, boom, boom. I'm just thinking about all sorts of things. I'm doing the same thing. But let me ask you this question. Do you always love God with all your heart? And with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind? I want you to think about that. Do you always do that? Isn't that a hard question? Because at least for me, when somebody might, if they ask me that question, that would be very hard for me to think about. To say, do I always, and what does that even mean? What does it even mean to love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Well, it's something that God asks us to do. He wants us to do. So it's something that I believe we can do. But isn't that hard to get a grasp on? And sometimes we rationalize, oh, I love God. Most of you, if I said, do you love God with all your heart? You'd answer, sure I do. But my question is, do you? Do you do it in practice, or you just do it intellectually? I know I love God, and I'm going to practically show that occasionally. In other words, I'm going to be genuine most of the time, but there are times in my life when I just can't be, or even I don't want to be. See, I think that honesty business is hard. I don't care who we're talking about. I think it's hard for us. And I want to look, pardon me, I want to look at the importance of the concept in dealing with how we communicate with our families. I want you to turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the first chapter. We're going to look at some things from that tonight, at least initially, as we think about some things that relate to this idea of answering this question in terms of communicating with our families. This map gives you a pretty good idea of the 40 years that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. From the time they left Egyptian bondage, from that time to cross the sea, and don't hold me to all these. That's exactly where that happened. Please don't hold me to that. This just gives you some idea, okay? But we know they went into the wilderness. That's where they were. And for a period of about, around 40 years, give or take a little bit, that's where they were. And I want you to think about that. That's where they were. And think about what they were going through. Imagine 40 years in the wilderness. Imagine the struggle with death every day, where those generations would have to die off before that younger generation would be allowed to enter the promised land along with Caleb and Joshua. Think about that. Think about the death that they saw. Think about the difficulty they faced. Think about the manna that they got sick of, but yet they were thankful for. And when you get to the book of Deuteronomy, really what you have is Moses now speaking to a new generation. This is a generation who very probably don't know as much as they, as obviously the others who had gone ahead and died, as they knew about what had happened in the wilderness. And even back in Egypt, they knew all those kind of things. But this group that now Moses talks to, it's a different group. And they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And I want you to listen in the very first few verses of Deuteronomy 1. Listen to what Moses says. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Sue, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, and on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. After he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in the Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at the Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, I want you to look at what opens it and what closes this section in section 5. These are the words Moses spoke. Why speak them, Moses? Because they didn't know them. They didn't know these words. They hadn't really probably heard these words. So Moses speaks the word, and when you get down to verse 5, on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law. That idea of explaining, that word means making meaning clear. In the Hebrew, it's the idea of making the meaning clear. He began to explain. It wasn't just the words. Moses would explain the words. Can you imagine explaining what you read about in Leviticus? We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. Can you see what Moses was trying to do? He was speaking, and then he was explaining. It's not just I want to tell you. He said, I want to tell you why. I want to tell you what it means. And he was doing that because it was so important, because they were unfamiliar with it. That's why he was doing what he was doing. He was focusing on now this generation, what I call this new generation that's going into the promised land. And they didn't know. And he had to talk to them about it. Generations come and go. And probably, and I don't know this because I don't know this group like I know my own group. My guess is there are people here even tonight, possibly, though, who are part of this church, although they may not be tonight. But there may be as many, I would guess, possibly even as four generations of people here in this audience or in this area. A mother and a father who given birth to children a couple of generations ago, and then they've given birth, and then that generation has given birth. And so you have these generations that come and go. And with all those generations, there are words that are exchanged, words from Scripture. And there's explanations from Scripture that are given, not only with the words, but there are explanations that are given. And when those explanations are given, what you have is generations that begin to look like the previous generation. And that's by design. But I want to say something to you. Words and explanations of those words are very critical today. Every generation must come to faith on their own. Transfer of faith, there is no such thing as transfer of faith. Not really. I know what we mean when we talk about that. I know what we mean when we talk about, well, that these are children and these are grandchildren and they're a part of what I'm a part of. I get all that. I understand we have to use accommodative language. I get that. But faith is not transferred. I don't have my faith and I just give it to my kids and say, here, I've had it, my dad had it, and I'm going to give it to you. That doesn't work that way. And if we think it does, we're sadly mistaken. Influence, yes, but transition, no. Being effective and being helpful, yes, but transitioning into that, absolutely not. Every generation must come to faith. And I'm going to tell you who's taught me that. It's my own kids. One of whom is here tonight, our daughter. She's helped me. She's helped Beth, my wife. I'll tell you why she's helped us. She's asked questions. Good questions. And sometimes in the course of asking good questions, I've not had good answers. And it's forced me to go back and think about what is it that I do believe about that. And so those conversations are had. And my guess is if I'm talking to parents in this audience, I am, you're looking at me and you're thinking, Kenny, I know what you're talking about. And Moses knew that generation that was going into the promised land, they needed to know. They needed to have it explained. There needed to be some understanding and an understanding of what that law was. And I love what we're going to look at tonight because it's what he said. It's what he said to parents to do with their children. It's advice that I love. And I hope it's advice that you love as well. Deuteronomy 6. Listen to what Moses said. He said, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. He said, your son is going to ask you. They're going to ask you about things that have happened. And here's what I'm telling you, you need to say to your son. And may I notice this as we just think about that one phrase? It's not if your son asks, it's when your son asks. It's not there's a chance that at some point in time in his life, in his early life, he's going to say, Dad, why is it that we do what we do? Why is it that I've been going to church all the time all my life? It's not a question of if he's going to ask it, it's a question of when he's going to ask it. And when he asks that question, here's what I want to suggest to us. We better have good, solid answers. And in my personal judgment, there's a long time I didn't have good answers. I didn't have the kind of answers that I think really establish some level of understanding and explanation about what it is that God said. And I don't have all the answers. I'm not here to tell you that. But when a challenge has been given, why is it? I'm here to tell you, my friends, we need to know why we believe what we believe. And that's not a plural statement. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about us as a group. Us as a group can't believe anything. Us as a group really can't practice anything. Us as a group collectively, whether it's Gooch Lane or College View in Florence or wherever that is, all that is are individuals who have reached some personal conviction about faith and who have said to each other, hey, I can practice my faith with you for a while. I can go with you this far. And if we go past that, then I'm going to have to separate. I'm going to have to do something else. That's really what a collective group of Christians like you're assembling here is. You people don't agree on everything. It's impossible. But yet, for some reason, you have said, you know what? I have conviction, and this is a place that I can allow that conviction to flourish. That's what you're doing. That's a great thing. That's what God wants among His people. But questions from your kids, listen to me, questions from your kids are good signs. Don't shy away. Don't not want to hear it. Because what they're saying is, why? They're asking questions. They show interest. They show concern. They show caring. They show willingness. And I would suggest to you that if your kids aren't asking questions, you ought to start paying attention to that. I'm not suggesting that you want your kids to always be doubtful about what it is that you may want them to believe or what you think that the Bible teaches that you want them to believe. I'm not suggesting that you don't want that, but I'm saying they need to be willing to ask, and you need to be willing to want them to ask. And that's what Moses said was happening here. He said, when your son asks you in time to come, saying what? In the Hebrew, we're going to look at this. In the Hebrew language, the same word is for what, why, how, when, and which. Same word. Very same word. And when you read the Hebrew, you read it from right to left. When your son asks you in time to come saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies? What is the meaning? It's an entire interrogative. It's a word which means I'm asking you a question. And there are all sorts of questions that those children were going to ask, and Moses realized that. Let me give you some examples. As I said, it's an interrogative pronoun. It translates what and why and how and where and which and who and how long and how many and how often. The same word translates all of that. And it's this Hebrew word mah, M-A-H. If you're reading, if you were to be reading the Hebrew, which I can't do at all, but you'd hear that word a lot when you would hear children ask questions. For example, Adam. What Adam was told, what would you call them? That's that word. God said to Eve, "What is this that you have done?" That's that same word. He said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen?" That question of why, that's the same word. Or to Cain, when he killed Abel, "What have you done?" That's the same word. Or to Pharaoh, to Abram, "What is this? What to me have you done? What did you say?" All those are the same words. Or similar questions about the manna. "What is it?" They would ask what it, because they didn't know what it was. Or, "What is the meaning of these stones? What is this memorial? What's the meaning of that?" Same word. Or, "What do you mean by this service when blood was put on the doorpost?" That's all of those words, all of those ideas in Hebrew, it's the same word because it's a question. So what you see is these children, if you will, these sons asking these very, very important questions. Can you imagine the breadth of the questions? I want you to think about that. When they ask about the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you, I want you just to think about, here is a father or a group of fathers, and they're sitting around, I don't know, maybe they built a fire one night, and they're sitting around the fire, and they're talking to their kids. And they start asking questions, and they're saying, you know, here's what Moses said we ought to do. And they ask, why? You ever had your kids ask you about something reference to your faith, and they say, why? Well, why those? Why these? Why so many? Can you imagine? I almost think it's funny. Moses talking about all of these commandments. All of these things that the Israelites were told to do by God. It was the law of God. And they ask, why are there so many? And by the way, do we have to do all of this? You ever heard that question? We have to do it all? Or what sense does it make? What sense does this make? We're asked to do this, but what's the point of that? How reasonable is that? Or are all the details important? All this talk about all these animals, it's got to be clean, it's got to be unclean. Talking about their feet, talking about their back, and talking about this. Can you imagine some of these children talking to are you? I don't know, if maybe the common vernacular, at least today, might be, are you kidding me? Do they all matter? How about that? Is it really important? How about this? Is that a salvation issue? You ever get that question, mamas and daddies? Well, I know what you're saying. Does God really care about that? Or, that's not what I expected. That's not what I would have chosen. That's not what I would have done. You see the point? When Moses began to explain, and when that filtered down into what the fathers would do, and I'm sure even what the mothers would do and how they were answered that, can you imagine those family conversations? You ever have those family conversations? Your children ever ask questions? You ever ask yourself questions? You ever think about what's going on? And what Moses is saying is, you need to look at the words and you need to offer, you need to think about what is the explanation of that. In other words, it's not just here's what it says, it's this is what it means. It's like in Luke 10, when that lawyer was asking Jesus questions and Jesus said, what do you think it says and what do you think it means? What was Jesus doing? Jesus is saying, I want you to tell me what it is that you're supposed to do, what it is that you're supposed to believe. What does it say and what does it mean? You can't have it. You can't have one without the other. You can't know what something means unless you know what something says. And you can't know what something says unless you know what it means. Like love God with all your heart. What does that mean? You have to interpret that. That's the nature of our faith, folks. That's the nature of our faith. Or the breadth of the question could be, well, there's a lot of educated people and sincere people. That's not what they do. Your explanation of this is, you're telling me this is what I ought to do, or this is what you do. But there's all sorts of people out there that don't do that. Have you ever been asked that question? You mean what this little group thinks? And not what that big group thinks? These can be hard questions, and I need to have good answers. Deuteronomy 6. This is what Moses says. This is what you tell them that the Lord has done. I want to just look at some of these things in this chapter. That when your son asks, this is what you say to your son. First of all, let me suggest that in verses 21 through 23, you should say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from here, from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to his fathers. I don't know how much they knew about it. I'm not sure about altogether the age of the people that he might have been talking to at this point specifically. But he's saying what you need to tell your kids is, let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you what he's done. And I want to suggest to us what we need to do is tell our kids what God has done for us. Can you imagine where you would be tonight without God in your life the way that God has been and is in your life? And what I would be without the Lord, I think about that quite often. What would I be without the Lord? Who knows what I would be without the Lord? Who knows what I would be without Him and His Word guiding me to this point in time in my life? I don't know what in the world I would be, but I want to share that with my children. You know, I'm not the greatest thing ever, and I have a lot of faults, and I have a lot of problems, and there are all sorts of sins that I'm sure I'm involved with that I don't need to be involved with, but the fact of the matter is, I'm who I am at least to this point because of what God has done, and you need to know that. That's what he says. Tell your kids what God has done. Tell him what God has done. And then he says in verse 24, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. He said, I want you to tell your kids what I want them to do is for their good always. And when you talk to them about what it is that God wants them to do and what he wants you to do, and they look at you like, have you lost your mind? You say to them, God wants you to do this because it's what's best for you always. There are no exceptions. When God says this is what it is, when he speaks the words, and when his law is explained, what Moses said, it is for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. That's in stark contrast to what they had seen throughout all that wilderness and all those dead bodies. He might preserve us alive. You do what he says, he'll preserve us alive. You don't do what he says, he will destroy us. And what thousands of examples they had. Thousands of examples. He says, it's for your good. My guess is some of the conversation, even on this occasion, might have been, and your ancestors before you should have listened to all that. Because if they'd listened to you, they'd been going in the promised land with you here shortly. It's for your good always. And then I want you to observe it all. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. It's not just enough to know what they are. It's not just enough to read them when you do your Bible readings every night. I'm making a modern day application. He said you've got to observe all these commandments. But he said you've got to do that in a careful way. Don't Don't just react to what God says and to what he wants you to do as if it doesn't matter. No, you have to be careful. He said, I want you to be careful about how you do that. And these are just some of the things. And just think about what we've talked about so far. Show them and tell them what God's done for us in my life. This is what he's done for me already. And when I do that, it's always for my good. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of my age, regardless of where I'm at in my life, it's always the best for me to do what God said. But I got to be careful about how I do that. And then I want you to go, as we begin to wrap this lesson up, I want you to go to Deuteronomy 6 and look at these first 9 verses. That's kind of small print, but maybe you can handle it. And I love these verses too. There are some things that are duplicated, but there are some things that different that I think are really important for us to consider. He said, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What Moses is doing, he's saying, here's what I want you to do as parents. He says, you've got to commit. If you're going to have children, you've got to commit to helping them understand what it is that God wants. That takes time, takes knowledge, takes effort. And he says, you've got to think about your son, you've got to think about your grandson, and all of the things that's going to do for them all the days of their life. You've got to make that commitment. And may I just say, and I'm not speaking, of course, about everybody, but I think there are a lot of people who have children and they make this family commitment to tell them what God and help them understand what God wants. But I can tell you right now, there's a lot of Christians that have children and there's no family commitment to help them understand what it is that God wants them to do, to believe and to practice. There's none of that. There's no efforts made. What Moses said is, you better think about those to whom you owe a spiritual promise, how you're going to materialize that in their life. And then he says, you need to be careful. We talked a little bit about that, but there needs to be this careful compliance. That word is prevalent in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think what that says is just be careful. If you're going to apply what God says, be careful about how you do that. Understand how you reach conclusions about Scripture. Understand how that happens in Scripture. And I think, again, I'm not sure we've done a very good job. And when I say we, I'm talking just in broad terms, and I'm not talking about everybody. But I think some aren't as careful as we need to be about what we would suggest God means by what he says. And then he says, you understand that the Lord is one. There aren't many gods. There's one God. How does that fly in this world today? There's one God. One? Kenny. There's one God. There's one God. One God. They needed to hear that because they had come out of a land and their ancestors had come out of lands where there were many gods. And in essence, the one true God had to reteach them. And Moses said to them, the Lord is one. And you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And I love what he says here, because he says this. That's the first objective you have as a parent, is to love God with all of your heart. Let me tell you something. Why in the world do you want your kids to love God with all their heart when that's not what you do? What sense does that make? Oh, I want you to be what you need to be. I don't know about me. No. Moses, you love God with all of your heart. We're going to get to your kids in a minute. But here's what you need to do. And I want to suggest something tonight. If you're not doing that, and your kids, and you have children, and you're not doing that, before you do anything with your kids, you need to get yourself right. You need to ask yourself the question, am I loving God with all of my heart, soul, and strength? These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. It's internalized truth. I've heard the words. I've gained an explanation, and now I practice it for myself. It's internal within me. It's my identity, if you will. It's my worldview. It's now that's who I become. And if I may say something that all of us know, I don't know of any greater time in the history of mankind when the right worldview needs to be understood. And I'm not just talking about how you view climate change or whatever the case may be. I'm talking about how you feel about God and who he is and what that means. Because we're all challenged, and we're going to be even more challenged. But what the conclusions that you reach need to be in your heart. There needs to be some conviction about that. And there needs to be an attentional transfer. You need to talk to them. You need to have good conversations with your children. You don't need to push it aside. You don't need to shy away from it. You need to have good, honest conversations with your kids. Sometimes those are hard. They can be helpful. They will be helpful. Sometimes conclusions may be looked at and achieved differently, but there still needs to be the communication and the conversation. You need to talk of them, and you need to do it when? All the time. When you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's got to be your life. You got to share that with your family. And what Moses said is, when you're a father, when you're a mother, when you're a parent, you got to do that. Got to do that. It's what they need. That will produce their own faith. Not your faith, it'll produce their faith. Help them. Speak the words. Make the explanation. Talk about what he says. And do it on a regular basis. I don't know what that practically means. You got to figure that out yourself. Bear with me just a minute. I think I've told this story here, but I'll tell it again. Some of you might have been asleep when I told it before. Some of you know John and Becky Haley. John is a retired orthopedic surgeon in Dothan. That name may mean a lot to all of you. Several of you probably know him. But years ago, I was staying in John and Becky's home, and I was upstairs. I spent the night in their home for a couple of days, and I was upstairs, and little John, now he's a lot older, John, but we were sleeping in bunk different beds up top, and one morning about 6 o'clock, I heard Becky's voice come over I was going to say loudspeaker, but it's not a loudspeaker, just an intercom, that's what it is. And she said, boys, it's time to get up. And I thought, what? I was facing the wall, and I looked, and I kind of looked at my watch. When I didn't move, but I looked at my watch, it said 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to get up till 8. And I didn't hear John move, so I just kind of stopped. And finally, about 10 minutes, she said, hey, boys, it's time to get up. And I still played possum. I didn't move. And I felt, John came over and tapped me on it. He said, Kenny, we got to get up. And I'm thinking, what just we got to get up? I'm not part of his family. But he said, no, we got to get up. I said, what? Can you just, he said, well, we're having a devotional. By now it's about 6:15, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I said, how often y'all do this? He said, every weekday. He said, Dad's got to be at the hospital at a certain time. And he said, it's what we do. And that's what we did. I never will forget what we talked about. We talked about Acts 16 and Timothy. I never will forget it. And the example that Timothy was setting as a younger man. But that made sense to me. And you know what? I look at John and Becky's kids today. They're good kids with their own families. Solid. And I'm not saying that what John and Becky did is what you and I need to do. I didn't do that. I didn't get my kids up every weekday morning at 6:15 to have a Bible study. I don't think I ever got my kids up at 6:15 to have a Bible study. But that's what John thought he ought to do. That he was trying to fulfill what Moses was saying. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to help them understand. I'm going to explain to them. I'm going to show them what God's words. And that impressed me. Do what it is that you do. Do it. Do it. Help them understand what that is. And then he said, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. People are going to know that's what you believe. In essence, you're going to write them on the doorpost. So when people walk by your house, they see that. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you put verses in your yard. Put up a track rack, and when people walk by, that you understand what I'm saying. What they're saying is there needs to be some public profession of that. Let people know where you stand. And I'm going to suggest something to you that's a judgment of mine, but I don't know of a time in our history that we don't need to be making public confessions and professions more than right now. So people know where we stand. People know what we believe. And people know what we're not backing down from. People know where our faith is. People know where our faith's going to stay. And people know that we believe what we believe. We're going to practice what we practice. And we're not backing down. I think Moses wanted the parents to understand, when your son asks, say to your son. Help him understand what it is that he needs to believe. Help him understand, not demand it, not dictate it to him, but help him understand. And if we'll do that, then I believe we will, in 2023, be serving the same purpose. What do I need to do as a father? I need to be genuine. If I'm going to tell my kids, you know what you need to do? You need to love God with all your heart. Their first question ought to be, Dad, is that what you do? Ought to be. And I hope that if you ask them, don't inundate my daughter tonight when church is over. But I hope that she would say, yeah, I believe my mom and dad, I believe they love God with all their heart. I hope that's what she would say. And I hope that we've done some things in her life and in the lives of her brothers that would help them understand, here's who God is, here's who He wants all of us to be. May God help us toward that. This is serious business. And if we can have that as parents, then hopefully we can help our children understand how to have it as well. May God bless what I've tried to say tonight. And may it have been some help to you. If you're in this audience tonight, you have some spiritual need that we could help you with, we'd love to do that. I don't know what they are. But there may be something that you need to talk to this group about, or something that you need to share with this group, we'd love to talk to you and help you if we can. Let that be known by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, You can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question, and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.